This is Will Primos. You're listening to Living the Outdoors with Mark Druick.
From the Fast Sign Studios, more than fast, more than signs. It's Living the Outdoors with Mark Druick, presented by Fleet Farm. Be part of the show by calling 281-1570 or 866-653-1570. Now, here's your host, Mark Druick.
Greetings and welcome to Fleet Farm's Living Outdoor Show here on The Score. I'm your host, Mark Druick. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. As a lot of you know, I was not in the studio last week. I was on the East Coast doing some sea duck hunting, and several of you have reached out to me and asked me how it was going. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you, but I thought you would tune in tonight, and I'm going to have the guide that I had with me taking care of me out there on the East Coast, and I figured we would talk about that and get you all filled in how everything went. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome in Jeremiah Brooks. Jeremiah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Mark. I'm glad you made it home safe, brother.
Yeah, it was a long ride. We drove straight through because we wanted to get home and get things taken care of. But, you know, an interesting ride nonetheless. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Is this your
that.
First back-to-back guest ever on this show, Mark?
It might be, yeah.
So we're making history tonight, Jeremiah, yeah. On this program.
There you go.
Hey, good. Yeah, I'm glad to be a part of it, boys. I'm glad to be a part of it. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was just the perfect follow-up. You know, when we were speaking when we were leaving, I'm like, you know, I was going to wait till later. I'm like, no, this is still fresh in my mind, and I'm glad you were available to sit down and join me, because it was, I have to tell you, my friend, it was one of the best guided hunting experiences I've ever had, and I enjoyed myself. Despite the couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a bag of gravel and a bad gun, it was really enjoyable, my friend, and I really appreciate you taking good care of me.
It's my pleasure, Mark. And listen, man, everybody's a little bit shooting challenged sometimes, but you know, you got to have that. You got to have that gun looked at, brother.
Yeah, believe me, that is already being looked at, and hopefully the outcome will be much better. But I'll tell you what, it was everything I had expected. You did a wonderful job of getting us on birds that first morning. You dropped us in the layout boat, and all we could hear is old squaws, and the sky was just full of them, and that is a bird I've had on my list for pretty much my whole duck hunting career, I ended up taking a really nice one, which was awesome on that first morning. But man, the birds were thick in that spot.
Oh yeah, you took what I'll call Squawzilla, is one of the biggest old squaws that I've ever seen. Just an amazing bird, and you're gonna get that mounted, right, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to the taxidermist tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's gonna be happy.
yeah, he was pretty jacked up. He sent me a message saying, "Oh, I'm living vicariously through you until you get back to Wisconsin." So, he's anxious to hear about the whole story. But there were so many birds and eiders and. You know, you just got us right in the middle of those birds, and it was an exciting experience sitting in a two-man layout boat. I've hunted in a single man, but it's different hunting in a two-man boat, and my partner in there was great great company. And then you plop me out on the rock formation. To me, that was, you know, sitting on that rock formation and watching the sun over the ocean was one of those aha moments that you kind of look forward to, like sitting in a tree stand in Iowa and seeing a 180-inch deer or something like that. Just being able to be out there and experience that and be on the ocean like that was pretty awesome. And you got us on the birds, man.
Right on, brother. Yeah, there are a lot of aspects to a good hunt. And, you know, being in birds, being in good quality birds, shooting them, you know, your gun messing up. And, I mean, everything adds to the flavor of the hunt. But, you know, it is a special moment when you're sitting there, you watch the sunrise, and you know, it just, you know, all elements of the hunt bring it together and really make a lasting memory, because there is just more to it than pulling the trigger, getting your birds, and you know, just having that total experience for a memory. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we were hunting these birds, it seems like they were, you know, the eiders were in one area, you know, pretty heavy. They've got some pretty distinct areas that they feed in, don't they?
Oh, they really do, man, because they, you know, an eider can pretty much eat anything, you know, within, the sea duck spectrum of groceries. Let's put it that way. So they can eat what an old squall can eat. They can eat what a scoter can eat. Then they can eat what they can eat. Whereas, you know, vice versa, an old squall cannot eat what an eider can eat. So historically, they're not in the same spot as the eider. So, you know, we target them, like I said last time on your show, just food source.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what's on the bottom, and we hunt them accordingly. And you're right, you know, very distinct spots hold the eider and scoter, and then, you know, further on up in the bays and estuaries and stuff, you know, you get your good old squalls.
Yeah, and it, you know, we talked about it when you're on last time, and, you know, one of the things I was looking forward to was getting my hands on, you know, a common eider, which are absolutely gorgeous birds. I've seen them mounted. I've seen pictures of them, videos of guys shooting them. But, you know, it was, I don't know if you could see it, but the look on my face when I scooped that one up and picked it up, and I looked at you, and you just had this look on your face, and it was like, wow, this is just way too cool, and held it in my hand. And it was, you know, just taking a look at that bird and the greens and the tan colors and the contrast of black and white, and how that's configured on their body. They're just absolutely gorgeous birds, and they're big too.
Oh yeah, they are. They're a big, hardy bird, and you know, when you pick it up and you hold them and you feel how stout they are, you're like, oh my goodness. You know, you don't expect something flying that fast and stuff like that to be that heavy. But yeah, when I did see your face and you picked up the bird, it was neat to me as a guide, because normally you don't get to have the conversation like we had prior to a hunt. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean, what do you look for, what it means to you, you know, just different things, a little bit more in-depth conversation. So then to have had that with you and to know, you know, what it meant to you, and, you know, you always ask everybody, what's your hit list? Mm-hmm. But we got to delve a little bit deeper into, you know, your hit list and what you were looking for and stuff like that. And then, you know, put it all together, and it was a privilege to be there for it, brother.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that was, you know, I'm hoping I feel the same way, but I think I made a new friend, and that's always one of the key things that, you know, when I've been very fortunate to be able to go to different places and different adventures and meet different people, and I've always developed relationships with people, and a lot of them I still keep in contact with, because there's a bond between people who, you know, enjoy the outdoors, and a guy such as yourself who can provide this adventure to people, and those people who, you know, come, maybe it's a, you know, saving their whole life, or they're trying to take birds off of their list. There's a certain, you know, synergy that's involved with that. And you know, I think you and I made a pretty good connection sitting and shooting the breeze and having some fun. And I think that's what it was all about. We had talked about that the last time you were on, is how important it is to make a connection with your outfitter.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There is a certain camaraderie that's just built into doing something that you love, like waterfowl, and then there's a certain amount of suffering together mm-hmm. that you go through that builds the bond even more. But I feel the same way, man. Good friendship, good hunting, and shoot, you could call me up and we could just shoot the breeze anytime, man, and not, you know, it's like I said, just like-minded, good people having fun and putting it all together. So yeah, definitely friendship, brother.
Absolutely. And you know, I learned, you know, so much. I you know, you can read and observe and talk to other people, but when you actually are in a boat and watching a person such as yourself who's operating the boat, putting out decoys, you know, trying to get everything set up just right, getting the layout boat positioned in place, I mean, that is no easy feat. And getting everything just right, and you like the place to be in the right spot so you get the best opportunity to shoot, you know, get a shot at these birds. And they decoy pretty well, so, you know, it made it that much easier, you know, for myself to be able to set up to get a decent shot. But, you know, it's not as easy as what people think it is. You've got your long lines and your weights, and, you know, it was almost like I was looking to myself and I said, it looks like a symphony to me, because everything was very systematic and everything had to be done exactly the same way. And I'm like, you impressed the living hell out of me, because that was really cool. Plus you're still dealing with, you know, the up and downs of the waves and all that kind of stuff. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah. I tell everybody, you know, when I do a show or, you know, just talking to different folks that are coming out, because I really feel like, you know, sea duck hunters are the special operations division of waterfowl hunting. You know, we deal with wind, tide, current, on top of everything else that's going on, as you know, rain, snow, I mean, absolutely everything that Mother Nature can throw at you, you know, you're getting it, and you're getting it at varying levels. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're setting your decoys up, you know, it might be, you know, pretty soft tide, you know, things are going your way, it's pretty easy. But then when you're picking up, the tide might just be absolutely ripping, and, you know, you just got to try to situate your boat to where your decoys come in. You don't lace all your decoys, and your layout boat, for that matter. Sometimes you can help it, sometimes you can't, but I'm glad you were impressed with the operation, man.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, it was, like you mentioned, it's not just, you know, taking the boat out, dropping the decoys in. I mean, you're looking for, you know, you've got your electronics on the top there, and it's telling you, you're watching the weather conditions. You guys come up with a game plan the night before, you know, and you're taking it all. There's all these factors that are involved in it. And the one morning we're out there, it was like dead calm, and you're like, no, we've got to move farther up. We got to get some wind going here. And you can see it can just go from calm, and all of a sudden you're in these huge rollers. It doesn't take much time for that to happen.
No, having a pulse on the weather and the wind it's paramount, because ultimately, you know, with everything going on that can go wrong, safety is number one, is paramount. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really try to not have anybody feel, you know, that they're in any type of unsafe conditions, to the point to where, you know, we will move to where the weather is going to pick up and or not go someplace just because it's going to be too rough.
Yeah, because, you know, I remember us having that conversation. It's like, yeah, it can be really nice here, but all of a sudden it'll get to be mid-morning and that wind picks up, and I think you used the phrase, it can get nautical out here.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that can't be a really good thing. But you know, it's not like hunting, you know, like Lake Michigan or the Bay of Green Bay. I mean, it's, you know, that's some big water, and things can change pretty dramatically. And I think you'll agree with me. It seemed that the weather conditions were quite mild for that time of year.
Oh, no, very, you know, it cooperated with us, man. But I, you know, I tell everybody, you hear waterfowlers with, oh, the Mississippi was horrible. Oh, Lake Michigan, that's the most dangerous. Some people, the Pacific or the Atlantic. And what I tell everybody is the most, you know, the most treacherous body of water that you're on is what you're on that morning when you're thinking, ooh, maybe I shouldn't do this. That's mm-hmm. the most treacherous body of water is, you know, a daily activity of going out. And if you do have an inkling that, hey, this might not be good, just turn around and go do something else. Mm-hmm. You know, you still got a whole morning of waterfowl hunting. It isn't worth, you know, having a butt clenching moment or anything to where you think, oh, that was bad. Just, you know, keep safety in mind. And, you know, on your trip, yeah, we did have some mild conditions. Mother Nature put a lot of stuff in our favor, and we capitalized on it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it looked like that the last morning it was going to, you know, I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and it was just pouring rain. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be kind of ugly. But then, you know, by the time we got in the boat and started heading out, the rain had stopped. Fog rolled in a little bit, but you know, that's never a bad thing.
No, you know, when the birds see the decoys in a little bit of fog, you know, they tend to just turn right to, you know, instead of being able to see, you know, forever and ever, and then, you know, just glancing at your decoys. Normally in the fog, they'll turn and come right to them and give you a good solid run on your decoys, or go ahead and finish off right in them.
Yeah, exactly. And when you got us on the scoters, which we ended up in a completely different spot. Again, there were some eiders there, some old squaws, but there was, it seemed to be a lot more scoters. We had white wings. We saw surfs. We saw commons. I mean, it was pretty much everything out there. But that was kind of, again, a different area where these birds were located.
Yeah, completely different areas. And it all just really comes down to, you know, food source. But at that point, it comes down to what have you been seeing? Years and years of experience of where have you had good luck and what have you seen leading up to that particular hunt. So, you know, we had been out there a few times prior to your trip, you know, with people wanting scoter.
Sure.
And then, you know, if somebody, same thing as, you know, there were a bazillion old squaw out there. Well, you just don't go out as far. You just stay in, you know, half mile to a mile. And then you got your old squaw. And then in all that, the eider just kind of seemed to filter through everything, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I did seen several of those, but, you know, the scoter population seemed to be pretty substantial in that area. And I think that second day, those guys, they had some pretty darn good shooting. I think we shot all three species, did we not, that day?
Yeah, we shot all three species. I think 2 days we shot all three species.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. But that last day, they were all, you know, nice specimen birds. I mean, they were just beautiful.
Yeah, and then again, those birds, when you take a look at them, they're darker in color, but those white wings, you know, you can pick them out. And the surf scoters as well, they've got that beautiful bill on them, you know, that's multicolored. Yep. It kind of looks like a bag of Skittles.
Yeah, I've never heard it described like that, but it's true that, you know, they got that nice white crown on the front and then on the back, and then that bill that looks like Skittles. And then I always try to describe the common scoter of having the candy corn bill. It just looks like it's on fire. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. There were some really nice looking birds that were taken that day. And you know, the other really cool thing that really kind of stuck out in my mind was the seals. We had one pop up when we were hunting the first day, and then that spot you took us the second day, there were seals all over the place in there, and they just seemed to pop up. Yeah. And you know, that's not something we see here in Wisconsin. We have otters, but we don't have seals. But that's a pretty cool thing. You know, there's all this other wildlife too that you get to observe. There's different kinds of seagulls and shorebirds, and all kinds of cool stuff. If you just take a moment to, you know, take a look at all that stuff, it's a whole different set of wildlife compared from Wisconsin to out east.
Oh yeah, definitely. A huge variety of wildlife, and you know, a different variety of shoreline as well. You know, it goes from, you know, solid beach to, you know, mansions to cliffs to you know, rocks out in the middle of nowhere. It is pretty breathtaking. It's an awesome place with geography like nobody, no place else, man.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you described it perfectly. It's, you know, you've got these gargantuan, I thought these things were like hotels, but they're like people's houses. And you go from the rock formations, and then you got the nice sandy beaches. And it's just, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's kind of what I expected, but it's still, like you and I were talking that the second day, I believe it was, the smell of the ocean and the difference between the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. It's so distinctly different.
Yes, it definitely is. And that is something that is very distinguishable here on the Atlantic Ocean, is the smell. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a salty, refreshing breeze that is, I mean, it's very unique to the East Coast, very unique.
Yep. It's, you know, and then you've got all the fine seafood, you know, the lobster trap, that, unbelievable. That's some of the best seafood I've had. But all the restaurants that we went to in that area, not only was the food excellent, but the servers were so friendly. And you know, of course they know where you're from. Well, you're not from around here, are you? Like, nah, no. Well, you kind of got a Midwestern accent. Yeah, that's us cheeseheads, you know. But what a wonderful place. And I encourage people, you know, obviously if you want to check in with Jeremiah, you can go to his website, his Facebook page, Ocean State Outfitters. And, you know, if you want to do one of these hunts, I highly recommend it. But there's also all these other things to do. You got great shopping. You've got great food. There's a lot of things. If you like the nautical aspect of it, there's a lot of things to look at there. I took my wife to the marina where we put in there those couple days, and that was pretty cool. You know, just to be able to see that, and we saw the Coast Guard ships come in, and there was another big ship that came in, and those kind of interesting things that you can go out and do. And yeah, it's well within driving distance if you want, but then you can fly out there. I think you fly into like Boston or something like that. Isn't that the closest airport to where you're located there?
Yeah, Boston or Providence. I just tell everybody to, explore the financial options of both. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, Boston is way cheaper, but sometimes Providence is pretty much right there too, but it's just a lot easier in and out.
Okay.
As far as, getting into the airport, getting your rental, and then, just not have to be in such big city driving. But they make it pretty easy with good directions and heading out both ways. But, you said you were talking about the things to do, past the hunting and everything. And you had brought your wife, and it was a pleasure meeting her. But, there's a ton of things to go and do. Guys will call me all the time and say, hey, I'm thinking about bringing my family, not just my wife, my family. Is there anything to do? I say, oh yeah. I mean, there's a ton of stuff to do.
Oh yeah.
To drive around, to look at, walking trails. I mean, you name it, and there's a ton of stuff to do. And it's, everybody around here is used to doing things as the climate progresses and changes. So as it's getting cooler, there's still plenty of stuff to do, plenty of shopping and all the restaurants and stuff like that. It's you can put together a good getaway for your entire family when you come up here on a hunt. It's pretty awesome.
It is. And if you like the there's a lot of history, fishing. Yep. History all those. I mean, there's fishing boats everywhere. You can see, all those cool things. There's great museums. Yes. And things to see there as well. There's a lot of stuff to for the family to do, and my wife loved it, I'm sure she'd want to come back, that's for sure. She said, I really like it here. I don't even want to go home. I'm like, yeah, exactly, because you got to go back to work when we get back. But she loved it. We had a great time. And the cool thing about it is, we had the hunting part of it, but you still had the afternoons to get out and explore, and we love to do that. Jump in the car and go check out a couple of the local establishments, talk to the, some of the local people, and have breakfast and do all that kind of fun stuff. And yeah, like it's a perfect place to go if you want to bring your family along. I mean, the hotel we stayed in, the Hampton Inn, was phenomenal, right on the canal, which in itself, we walked into the hotel, we checked in and walked out to the, and had a seat. Looking out the window, and there must have been a flock of I would say on the conservative side of about 1,000 eiders right outside the right outside the hotel. And I remember telling you about it, you go, yeah, they'll float down one end and then fly back up to the other, and that's what they did, back and forth and back and forth. And I told my wife, I said, that's what we're after. I said, those big white ones. And that was pretty cool. It was a great way to get things started, to be able to see that. Saw a bunch of Brant in there as well. So it was all in all a phenomenal experience. And again, I thank you for making that such a special hunt for me. And I'm hoping to get back out there. I still want to put those scoters on the list. So I think we're going to be talking here as we move forward. So
You just listen, man. You just get that gun doctored up, or get you another gun where you get more than one shot, and I think we'll be in business, brother.
I have to agree with you on that 100%. All right, my friend. Well, listen, thank you so much. I wish you all the best. Your season runs to what, the end of January? Is that up?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll run right till the end of, we'll run right till January 31st. Then next year will be, I think it'll come in maybe earlier and go out a little earlier or something. I'm not sure.
You okay.
know, they set all the rules and regulations about September-ish time frame. So
very cool.
We'll just keep a pulse on it and be back at it next year once this season ends.
Sounds good, my friend. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to do a follow-up chat with me here. I greatly appreciate it.
Okay, Mark. You take care, brother. It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Jeremiah. All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and take a break here on Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show here on The Score. I'm your host, Mark Druick. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. Thanks again to Jeremiah Brooks from OSO, Ocean State Outfitters, joining me here. I'll tell you what, guys and gals, if you are looking for one of those hunts where you want to put some sea ducks on your list, he's the guy to contact. He had a phenomenal time. Came up a few birds short of what I was looking for, but you know what? That's okay. It wasn't all about that. I was able to take a really, really nice Drake Old Squaw, a really, really nice Drake Eider, and another Old Squaw. And you know what? That was fine. I didn't go out there with the intention of having to fill my limit every single day. That wasn't the purpose of that hunt. It was to go out there, have the adventure. You know, hopefully get on some birds. Jeremiah did a phenomenal job. He got us on the eiders and the old squaws the first day, and the scoters the second and third day were just flying like crazy. Put us all in the right spot. So you can look him up. He's got a Facebook page. It's Ocean State Outfitters. And he's also got a website. It's OSO. If you type that in, OSO Outfitters, and it will get you connected to him. And you can look everything on there. I give him the Live in the Outdoors seal of approval. And if you have any questions or you want to know more about it, or, you know, I can help in any way. You can email me at livingtheoutdoorswi@gmail.com. You can also...
He has a very good website, too.
It is. It's very,
very
well...
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's so self-explanatory. Yeah. Everything is on there, you know, and he says it's, you know... this is kind of a trophy type deal. You know, you may not fill your bag of four birds per day, which is fine. You know, I didn't even need to shoot four birds a day. You could shoot four sea ducks, which would be no more than three of one species. So you could only shoot three eiders, three scoters, or three old squaws, and then one of something else, but no more than three of one species, which, you know, that's more than generous.
Is that per day, or is that...
That's per day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's per day.
I figured so. Just want to clarify.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, I mean, if I would have taken more and wouldn't be going to the taxidermist, I would eat them. But I was told that they don't make the best table fare based upon what they eat. So...
Not put that in your chili or whatever.
I would have ground them up and made sausage.
I figured that's okay.
Yeah, you know.
So maybe.
You know, the thing is, there's so many things to do with waterfowl. You know, we have diving ducks here, which are classified as sea ducks out there. They don't distinguish. We saw golden eyes. We saw mergansers. You know, there's a lot of other ducks, but mergansers were separate. But anything else like buffalo heads, golden eyes, ring necks, anything like that would be included as a diving duck or a sea duck, if you will. But, you know, it's amazing how many birds there really are. And they get hunted all along the coast there. But and they get up close and personal. And for those of you listeners of hunted out a layout boat, you know exactly what that is. The birds are on top of you like really, really quick, and you're laying down in it like it's a coffin, and then you have to sit up, get your gun, and hopefully get a shot at them before they whiz by you. Meanwhile, trying to make sure you get a shot up and down in the waves. And in the last day that we were there, it was I want to say maybe 3-4 maybe 5 foot swells.
Wow.
So you'd go up, you'd see the decoys, you go down, you wouldn't see anything. There were a couple of times where you pop back up and the birds are right there. You couldn't get a shot at them. And, you know, for me, amazingly enough, I never got queasy at all.
That's good.
It is. You know?
I mean, I don't know how you do that if you're queasy. I literally don't know how you do that. I don't know how you'd survive to be able to do that.
It would be difficult. You would not want to do that. You probably have to sit in the tender boat. And what that is, you know, they set you out in the layout boat, and then, you know, the decoys are lined up. So the birds kind of funnel right towards you while you're in the boat. And then he'll set that, you know, that, tender boat, you
sure.
know, half a mile away, you know, so you're still in visual contact, but you have radios. So if something's up,
yep.
or you knock a bird down, it was really kind of cool because you had to follow the specific protocol. You know, if you got a, you know, if you got one down and it's dead, it's, you know, dead in the water. If you got one that's diving on you, you got to come in hot. You know, give them some direction, right side. But we'd say starboard and port because obviously we're in the nautical area. But and this boat has. This motor, at times I couldn't even hear it running, but it pushed this a solid, you know, steel boat,
okay.
probably 20 foot plus boat with all storage for all the decoys
nice.
On the side. Yeah, it's really cool. I've got a picture of it. I'll post it up on Instagram, and you can follow me. It's Outdoors Living The, and I've got a lot of my pictures posted up there, but you know, I'm gonna post some more up there probably this week. But you know, and then he rushes right in.
Sure.
They get to the birds right away. You know, you lose a couple birds, and the thing is that you and I were talking about this before we came on the air. They are tough as nails. I mean, these birds they're big, and they've got, you know, a lot of layers on them. And you know, you knock them down, and they dive almost immediately.
Sure.
And if they dive on you,
good luck.
Yeah, you have a tough time because they, for whatever reason, they can take a big breath of air, and when you're trying to, you know, track them down, if they dive and don't come up,
good luck. What do they call it? Checkmate almost.
Yeah, you're pretty much toast. And
yeah.
And we had a couple of them come up, and they were 75 yards away.
Wow.
And you can't let them stay up too long. So yeah, we lost a couple birds, but you know, that's part of the hunting aspect of it. But I
Mark, good news, we have our first caller of the night.
Oh, tonight, outstanding.
If you'd like to take a call.
Absolutely.
Who do we have up here on Living the Outdoors with Mark Druick?
Oh, they just hung up.
They just hung up. I apologize.
Call back.
It's okay.
Let's chat.
Sometimes it happens.
It does.
It's all right.
Does. Call us back. We're here to chat with you. But
920-281-1570, 866-653-1570. Give us a ring.
Yeah, or you can email me, livingtheoutdoorswi@gmail.com. I got several responses on that asking me how the hunt was going.
Yeah.
I said, tune in. And we're going to spend tonight talking about it. You know, it's you know, you don't think you'd be talking about, you know, waterfowl hunting this time of year, but you know, we are.
Well, you just had the experience of a lifetime.
Oh,
you kind of have to let it off, get off your chest.
Absolutely. You know, so many people had contacted me, and you know, how was it? Did you have a good time?
Well,
was
the biggest thing too is a lot of people are probably wondering what all goes into this, and is it worth the time and investment of doing it? That's the big thing, and that's why I think people are asking you a lot of questions of, was it worth all that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Alex. And it's, you know, a lot of people, it's, you have to have some kind of testimonial, you know, somebody that you trust that's going to give it a yay or a nay. And it's, these guys work really, really hard, and it's you know, you're getting up early in the morning, you're no different than any other duck hunting, but when it gets light out and you're looking at this big abyss out there where there's no, you can see land on one side, but not on the other side. Kind of like Lake Michigan, yeah. But more intense and a little bit.
Sounds a little bit more ferocious too.
It can be. We lucked out. Our weather was good. A couple days in the morning, it was like glass, and that's really awesome. Not good. It's cool.
It's picturesque.
It's picturesque, 100%. But the birds don't move around.
Sure.
As much, they'll just be out there sitting around, and you know, they're like the typical birds. They'd fly around after dark. And then, you know, if it was a breeze picked up or whatever, then they'd move around a little bit. But you have to be very, very careful about the weather, because I was in that the last day. It was up, down, yeah. Up, down. And prior to that, and then all of a sudden, just towards the end, when they were ready to pick me up, it settled right down.
Now, there you go.
Yeah, so I don't know if the wind switched or just died down or whatever, but it was... went back to the way it was almost originally, but you know, I'll just kind of finish this up before.
No,
we
you're
take
good.
A break,
Go ahead.
But,
no
yeah,
problem.
It's, do it. If you're a bona fide, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you've been thinking about doing it, do it. It's just one of those things that you have to experience. It is a totally different perspective of waterfowl hunting on big open water, and it's not like the Bay of Green Bay
or
Lake Michigan.
Do you think that what you did this past week is going to help you come back here with hunting?
You know, I think it is definitely.
Or do you think it's going to? I shouldn't say hinder, but do you think it's like you've learned like different styles or different tactics potentially, or
yeah,
is it?
I learned a lot of how that has to happen. Now these guys out on Lake Michigan and in the Bay of Green Bay, very parallel. To what these guys do, but you don't have the formations, the
sure.
rock formations to hunt on. And it gave me a much better perspective of what I needed gear wise. Cause I really do want to go back. I do want to go back. Jeremiah has invited me to come back, and
sounds like there's some unfinished business.
There is some unfinished business, and it will now I know. And now I can be much better prepared. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show right here on The Score. Welcome back to Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show here on The Score. I'm your host, Mark Druick. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. Thanks again to Jeremiah Brooks from OSO Outfitters on the East Coast. And hey, if you want to, you got any questions or comments or anything for me tonight, 281-1570 or 866-653-1570. Love to hear from you. You can also reach out to me via email. It's livingtheoutdoorswi@gmail.com. I do appreciate all the opportunities to get people connected in the outdoors. And I also do appreciate all the kind words from all the listeners out there. You're the reason that I sit in this chair and do this show, so that I can get you connected to the outdoors and share my outdoor experiences with you. And got some pretty exciting stuff to look forward to this year. I should draw my bear tag, which will be very
nice.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
I'm excited about that.
Where would you do that hunting?
You know, the cool thing about it is I've connected with a couple people. My cousin, his daughter is married to a guy whose family runs a bear hunting business.
Okay.
up where my cottage is.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Yes. So that would be very cool if I can get connected with them, if they have an opening, because then I could stay right at my cottage.
Sure.
And I'd be hunting the area that I know.
When is that season?
September.
Okay.
Yep, September.
Perfect time to be up there.
Yeah, and this year, it's I believe the dog hunters go first, and then the sitters go second. I was hoping that this year would be the year that the sitters could go first. I still have to, you know, decide
sure.
how I want to approach that. I've been 13 years.
Wow.
To get a tag in Wisconsin.
And you're finally due?
I'm due. I'm hoping. I've got another gentleman that I've been speaking to, and he'd be more than happy to take me out. He's a little bit more north and east of where I'm located, but if I can get hooked up in my yeah. own backyard up north, that would be perfect. But
it's like Packer season tickets.
It is. I mean,
it's very
seriously,
similar, actually.
It's ridiculous. I'm hoping to get connected with Sean Holly from Coupling Outfitters. I'd love to get out. We've been going back and forth. He's been trying to get me to come out there and snow goose hunt with him in Northwest Missouri. So maybe that will happen here
that
in the next couple months.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to. I've hooked up with him. We're probably going to get him on the show here in the next month or so. And you know, then I've got my Iowa tag. So I have all these things. I think I'm going to have to go back to work.
Nope. Don't you dare instill that into your brain, because you will too.
No, I, you know, actually
knowing you, you will.
I'm actually fibbing. I'm working
good
right now. I work for Richard over at Nemus,
hey,
Southside Market. So hey, if you're in the area and you want to pop in and say hi to me, I've been helping him out quite a bit.
Awesome.
I actually like it. I mean,
it's good.
Yeah, but kind of fit in, you know, with the guys, and it's fun to learn a different business.
Yeah.
I love to process my own venison and stuff like that, so I'm learning a lot from these guys. It's really cool. Cause
Richard's the best.
Richard's awesome.
He's got a great staff. He's just a great human being.
Yeah, Wes and Matt and Josh and Bill and Miranda, all those people have really kind of welcomed me, and it's kind of fun to go there. You know,
yeah,
I work a couple
absolutely.
Days a week. I don't, you know, try to work myself too much. I still have to make time to do my
what
stuff
you want to do absolutely
so that all works out well, and I guess they're glad to have me whenever I can participate. So it's going to be an exciting year coming up. Looking forward to that.
So you got a little bit of travel planned for 2023.
Yes.
This is your first show of 2023 too, by the way.
It is, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, because last week would have been the first one.
Yeah.
And that was postponed.
Well, not postponed. You were doing your thing.
I was doing my thing.
You're having a good time.
I would have loved to have done it from where I was, but I was busy having dinner.
Good.
Yeah.
We won't. I know the food out there is amazing, but I want to live vicariously through you, because I've heard the lobster out there is just next level. I've heard the food out there is amazing too, and you reiterated it before the show.
Yeah, it is. We ate at the Lobster Trap, which is primarily a seafood restaurant.
Sure.
Scallops, shrimp, swordfish, lobsters, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we ate there twice, and we actually, I posted it up on my Instagram. So if you're following me, it's Outdoors Living the, I was talking to the guy behind the counter, and I said, "Hey dude, what's the biggest lobster you got in there?" He goes, "Oh, I think I got about a five pounder in there." I'm like, "Really?"
Gosh.
He starts digging around in there, and he pulls one out and puts it on a scale. It was over 7 pounds.
Holy cow.
I'm holding it. and it's honestly, I've got big hands.
Yeah.
His claws were as big as my hands. It was just insane. And Jeremiah ordered it.
Oh my gosh, really?
And had
so
it
you
for,
went out to eat with him too.
Oh, twice.
That's really cool.
Oh god, yeah. It was
that's awesome.
It was great. And the other two guys that we were with too, and my wife came along, and we had a ball. He shared it with us.
So
and
cool.
It was
can't beat it.
No. Absolutely amazing. And then we went to I can't think of the name of it, but it Stomping Ground.
Okay.
It was an old house. Turned into a restaurant, an eclectic restaurant. It was primarily like old records, and they had an old record player in there.
Oh,
and
that's
you
awesome.
Put records
that's
on
great.
It. Had a little bar in it, you know,
perfect.
Sat about 20, 25 people tops.
Beautiful.
And I had the swordfish with scallops and shrimp on it. Honestly, that was one of the best meals I have ever eaten. And swordfish, have you ever eaten swordfish?
I have not.
It's absolutely delicious. And if it's not overcooked, it melts in your mouth.
Oh, that's awesome.
If it's cooked properly.
That's good to know. I
it is.
I like that.
Yeah, it's absolutely delicious. And my wife had a chicken dish, and we ate at an Italian restaurant, Mezzaluna, and she had chicken piccata, and I had chicken marsala.
That sounds great.
Which is one of my favorites. But the best thing about that restaurant, Alex, is that they came out with homemade bread. It was Mama Luca's whatever homemade bread.
Sure.
I ate it. It was a time machine for me, because it tasted exactly like my grandmother's homemade bread.
That's really cool.
You know, it just took me to another place in time, and I said to Marianne, I said, "This is exactly like my grandmother's bread." I ate the whole basket. I wasn't going to be a pig and ask for more, but I really wanted to.
You should have. Take some home with you.
Well, see, that was the key thing, too, is we walked to a couple of the restaurants, which is great. You know, you burn off some calories going.
Couple steps, yep.
And then you burn some off when you get back, and then you don't feel like you got this huge lump in your stomach.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, food was phenomenal.
And if you wanted to have a beverage, you could.
Several. Several, actually. All right, well, listen, we're going to go out and take another break. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up here on Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show on The Score. All right, welcome back to Fleet Farms Living the Outdoor Show here on The Score. I'm your host, Mark Drew. Thanks for tuning us in tonight. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there who have a Packer hangover, but I don't know. What were your thoughts on that, Alex? Were you kind of like, yeah, I don't think they're going to win this one, or what were you thinking?
They went back to their old ways. That's exactly what I thought. It's pretty much a carbon copy of last year's winner-take-all against the San Francisco 49ers of that game last year. And, yeah, very frustrating if you are a Packers fan, but honestly, I think the writing was on the wall for this team. Even if they did make the playoffs, I know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Even if they did, I don't know how far they would have gotten. I don't know.
I don't think they would have gotten past San Francisco, and I'll be honest with you. I think San Francisco,
they might win it all.
Looking at the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers have a much better defense and are a really tough opponent, and I think they would have just wipe their rear end with the Packers, unfortunately.
The strength of that 49ers team, they can really run the football, too. So, and that's something that Green Bay really hasn't done well all season, is stopping the run. So,
no.
It sucks to have to put the green and gold gear back and dust it off in September, but we'll make do. We'll see. It's going to be a busy offseason for them, that's for sure.
A lot of changes, I think, are coming. And,
yeah.
The cool thing I like about the 49ers, I've always been a closet Buffalo Bills fan.
Sure.
You've got that story, but you've also got the story of this quarterback from the 49ers, who is the last pick of the draft.
Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant. And the guy is hot.
Yeah, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL since he got inserted in the starting lineup. It's pretty incredible the job that Kyle Shanahan has done with that team. So the NFL playoffs, they get going on Saturday, so it's almost go time.
It is. You know, and I think he's one of those coaches that's good with young quarterbacks.
Yes.
And I think that's critical.
I think he's just a good coach, too.
Yeah.
Well, there's a good coach, gets the best out of his players. And John Lynch, the GM there, he's never been afraid to go out and make a splash. And they're a very well-rounded football team, which is why I think that I don't hate your pick of the 49ers at all. They're playing as good as anyone in the NFL right now, and it just sucks. It sucks, but
hey, it's the reality of it. Yep. What about AFC?
AFC, I mean, if you're not rooting for the Bills, I don't think you're human. Or you're a Chiefs fan, or you're a Ravens fan, or you're a fan of whatever team is in the AFC. But I would say the Chiefs are the team to beat for sure. They're the one seed. They've got Patrick Mahomes. They've got the best, in my opinion, the best quarterback on the planet right now. And I think they are the team to beat. But man, if you're not rooting for the Bills, I don't know what to tell you.
I was watching that game sitting in the hotel room.
Oh, man,
that
was scary.
It's hard
never
to even
see it.
I said to my wife, I said, all the years that this football has gone on, there's been injuries. I mean, Daryl Stingley was paralyzed years ago. And
we're just so conditioned to seeing the cart comes off.
The guy gets on and he goes.
Yeah, the guy gets on, play goes on. But this was so different. DeMar Hamlin is doing well right now, too.
From what I understand, he's home now.
He is home. He's released. He's walking around. He's talking. He's functioning, which is something we weren't sure if we would hear about that.
You know,
a week and a half ago.
I'm going to close it out by saying this. I think that people who don't believe in miracles are just blind to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they happen every day. You just have to really understand it and appreciate it, because they do happen every single day. And, you know, it's just a blessing that this guy even survived. And,
yeah, no doubt.
It's like one in a gazillion things to have happen to somebody. But, you know, the guy's up and he's back to life. So that's so awesome. So, well, listen, everybody. Thanks again to Jeremiah Brooks from OSO Outfitters on the East Coast for taking the time to join me here tonight. And I appreciate all of you tuning us in. And remember, if you have the opportunity to impact somebody's life through the outdoors, please take advantage of it. I guarantee you it will make you a better person. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Have a great evening. And, of course, live life in the outdoors.